Hey guys, just like that, we're back. Welcome to the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Hope you guys are having a fun day, great day, fantastic week. Hope you guys got all your Christmas stuff done. It seems like half of Florida hasn't figured out what they're supposed to be doing this week, and they've all decided just to drive out on the interstate.
Have you noticed that?
Like, just drive. I don't know where anybody's going. I have no idea.
It's awful.
It's like 11 in the morning, I-4 stopped.
Already. Well, a lot of it because of the theme park.
I know.
Yeah, everybody comes down because they get a couple extra days off this week from their job.
And they're visiting family, and they want to go to the theme parks.
Well, they got a week's vacation, and they get three extra bonus days because their company's closed anyhow.
It did lay out like this week. A lot of people are going to be off Thursday, and then if they already had a day they could take off, they take off Friday. But anyways, guys, Purple Sticks. The final day of 12 days of Christmas is here upon us.
Oh, Pearl Six is upon us.
12 days.
10% off. Wow.
12DAYS. Put it in the coupon code at checkout and get 10% off on the Purple Sticks. I made one this morning in one of my old shakers. Here's one of my old shakers. It's still held up. See, HM's barely on there.
You said 12HM. What are you reading there?
12DAYS. 12 days. Coupon code.
Oh, 12DAYS. Okay. Got it. I'm not paying attention.
You don't point me now?
No, I'm not on point yet. I'm not awake yet. I just took my third Purple Stick.
Third?
I did.
This is my first one today.
What else are you on?
Nothing. Oh. Hopes and dreams and Stetson screaming. He was in a mood this morning. My two-year-old woke up and he's mad at the world. He runs around outside with no shoes on. Just, All right,
yes,
son.
Yes, he had a little cart he was pushing around full speed, man. He's running.
Running.
Flailing.
I don't know where he goes. He goes somewhere. He just disappears. He comes back.
This is why I told you, make sure you put a six-foot fence around the
full,
yard.
Full fence, full security. Well, a lot of times what I do when he's running around outside, I'll put my cameras up on my TV if I'm chilling there working on the computer, and I see him go from camera to camera, run around outside. Whatever, man.
Godspell.
Do your thing. And by the way, guys, make sure you're staying up to date. You can go to the podcast, browershow.com, and make sure you're getting updates on the current shows and all the specials we have. Like, if you want to get the email on 12 Days of Christmas, we missed it this year. But if you want to get it next year, make sure you sign up so you can get it, along with all the different specials we're going to have coming into New Year's. And also, too, check out all the new podcasts we have up here every single day. We have them updated, and you guys can go and look at all the different details. We have the show notes about the episode, related episodes, support. We spend a lot of time, guys, putting this information out here, the products that we cover on the show. And also, too, we have it on Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Gab, Spotify, Rumble. Be sure to check out those platforms, too, if you like them. Leave us some reviews on there or comments. And also, too, make sure you guys are leaving me some reviews on the bestseller list over here. A lot of the products have been blowing up. Magnesium Brain Food, which, like, 18 reviews on it now. Everybody listen to me on that one.
Everybody, yeah, sales are going through the roof on magnesium brain fog.
Well, everybody loves it. Everybody tries it. You don't want to stop taking it.
Well, it gets rid of brain fog.
Yeah.
What it did for me. Oh, by the way, Lindsey Graham, the guy who likes to carry a purse and acts like he's gay.
I think he is.
I think he is, too.
Speculation.
Whatever.
Hard not to speculate.
But he's saying he's urging the U.S. and Israel defense pact and pays back tenfold, strengthens American security. The owner whose payroll he's on with Benjamin Netanyahu.
APEC.
Yeah. Senator Lindsey Graham urged a formal U.S.-Israeli defense pact, arguing that the strong GOP support for Israel remains overwhelming, that U.S. aid delivers tenfold returns in intelligence, counterterrorism, and advanced technologies. Total crap. And that Israel's security role provides capabilities the United States could not replicate on its own. Yeah, like, you know, no rules of engagement. In remarks delivered Sunday to reporters in Israel following meetings with Israeli leaders, U.S. military officials, and intelligence briefers during a two-day visit, you know, you have with meeting with Israel folks, including talks with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Foreign Minister Gideon Saar, Graham framed Israel not as a burden to the United States, but as one of the most valuable strategic partners military, economically, and morally.
Really?
Morally.
Really?
How's it get morally with Gaza?
How's it morally with Netanyahu? Those two words are diametrically opposed.
Graham dismissed suggestions that support for Israel is weakening within the Republican Party, calling such claims disconnected from political reality. There is no strong anti-Israeli movement in the Republican Party, he said, arguing that vocal critics represent a fringe rather than a base. Loud voices do not represent the majority. Citing his home state, Graham noted that more than three quarters of Republican voters in South Carolina, this is because of the Scofield's Reference Bible and evangelical Christians and baby boomers who have become so stupid in support of Israel that they'll believe that Israel will, no matter what Israel is. Yesterday I was speaking with a pastor, great guy, love the guy, and he was talking about his support for Israel as a people. And he goes, I believe that they're going to have a special type of, you know, reckoning, and basically, you know, and they're good. And he goes, but, you know, he said, the only time that people can't be saved is when they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I looked at him, I said, blaspheme the Holy Spirit. What do you think they do over there all
like
the time?
Like the Babylonian Talmud?
Yeah. And I said, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High God. They don't believe the God that we have, the ones who follow the Talmud. And I said, how much more blasphemous do they have to become than this? He goes, well, I guess that's true. And I said, that's really true. And I said, the problem is, I said, they don't follow their own, you know, Torah. They don't do that. They follow the Talmud. And I said, people just got to get a grip on that. So that's why it says, you know, it's interesting to me how South Carolina, he's saying that over 75% of Republicans cherish the U.S.-Israeli relationship.
That's a total manipulated lie. That's not accurate at all.
While the U.S. aid to Israel benefits America, Graham argued U.S. military economic assistance to Israel delivers outsized returns to American security and global influence. No, it doesn't. It gives outsized returns to Israel's security and Israel's global influence. It has nothing to do with America. Israel is a great deal for America, he said. The money we give Israel comes back tenfold. You know, I can't help but leave me speechless.
Yeah, I can't help but laugh at that. You know, the lie, there's lies, bigger lies, and damnable lies, and Lindsey Graham's great at all three of them. We know he's lying. He knows he's lying. We know that he knows he's lying, and yet he still keeps lying. The United States just imposed multiple sanctions on the International Criminal Court and sanctioned two judges globally. They said now they want to start seizing these judges' assets in the ICC. Look at this. This is the ICC, the International Criminal Court. Do you know why? The ICC said that they basically have issued arrest warrants for Netanyahu for war crimes, and they're doing an investigation into Gaza. So naturally, when the International Criminal Court says crimes against humanity have been committed by IDF, naturally the United States says, we're going to sanction you. How dare you question Israel butchering women and children? How dare you question any of their behavior? Now we're going to sanction the judges, and if we need to, we're going to seize your assets.
If Israel wanted to kill all Palestinians, it could, Graham said. Hamas wants to kill all Israelis but cannot. Wait a minute.
What?
Supposedly the death toll is over 200,000 now with the Palestinians. Yeah. If Israel wanted to kill all Palestinians, it could. The only reason Israel has not killed all the Palestinians is because the world would go against them so strongly if they went in there and actually did a full-blown genocide in Palestine.
That's
and
pretty
Gaza.
Much what they're doing, dude. They're just keeping it low-key. Why do you think they've killed 240 journalists? 240 documented journalists have been killed in the Gaza conflict.
You know, I really don't know what to say about this, but this is an interesting article. Stop Anti-Semitism as a group. It takes credit for getting hundreds fired and a music teacher is suing. Known for targeting celebrities, the pro-Israel blacklist goes after private individuals who post solidarity with Palestine. Now, this is interesting. Teacher Susan Lewis logged into a Zoom meeting with her boss one afternoon. She thought she would prepare for sixth grade teaching at the Valley Catholic School. Instead, she lost her job. Lewis was shocked. She recalled an interview with The Intercept, as were her colleagues and students. The school did not give any explanation for why they fired her. Unbeknownst to Lewis, the pro-Israel blacklist organization Stop Anti-Semitism had recently launched an online campaign against her, framing her social media posts about the genocide in Gaza, using her platform to spread vile anti-Semitic hate online. Lewis is one of at least 400 people Stop Anti-Semitism has taken credit for getting ousted from their jobs and getting fired, which had drawn widespread attention for targeting more prominent figures, including Tucker Carlson, progressive actor-turned-activist Cynthia Nixon, and popular children's educator Rachel Accurso. No matter her stage name is Miss Rachel. Lewis, without her own platform or mass audience, is only one of two recent Stop Anti-Semitism targets pursuing federal lawsuits. I really thought we had free speech and this wouldn't be a problem if we criticized what was going on in Gaza, that the social media is for you and we can vent, Lewis said. That intercept wasn't like I was saying anything above and beyond what other people are saying. She sued Anti-Stop Anti-Semitism for defamation in an Oregon state court over the summer, and the case was elevated to federal court last month. Her suit faces long odds, legal experts told The Intercept, but serves as a rare chance to register public dissent in the courts against the group's targeting. Now, is this kind of interesting? Funded in 2018 by social media influencer Lorio Recico and funded by the California-based real estate millionaire Adam Milstein Foundation, Stop Anderson targets public figures and private individuals over criticism of Israel or advocacy for Palestinian human rights. Forming a single-issue Rolodex similar to Canary Mission, the blacklist supplements this fierce crackdowns and censorship against Palestinian solidarity activism increasingly seen in schools across the U.S. since the outbreak of Israel's war in Gaza. And what they did, they actually went out and they posted her stuff on their website to 300,000 people and told everybody to call her boss.
Wow.
And they did.
Where do you think all this money's going, bro? Where do you think all this funding's coming from, the social media stuff? They've already came out and said it. I mean, this is right here.
They fired her.
Oh, yeah.
The boss, they couldn't handle the school fired her.
Listen to this.
I can't deal with this.
Press Secretary, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio cited provisions of Executive Order 14203 imposing sanctions on the International Criminal Court. The order establishes that any person or organization can be sanctioned if they engage directly in an effort of the ICC to investigate, arrest, detain, or prosecute a protected person without the consent of the person's country and nationality. These individuals have directly engaged in efforts in the ICC to investigate, arrest, and detain, prosecute Israeli nationals without Israeli consent, including voting for a majority in favor of the ICC's ruling against Israel's appeal on December 15th to shut down the investigation into the Gaza invasion. So nobody can investigate it. Nobody can look at it. If anybody questions it, if anybody tries to stop it, if anybody in the International Criminal Court tries to uncover what's going on, you will be sanctioned by the U.S. government.
Sounds like the Epstein files.
Sounds like the Gestapo as well.
Although this is past that.
Can't criticize the Nazi Party. Can't criticize Stalin. Can't criticize the Communist Party. Can't criticize the Chinese Communist Party. Anybody else see this parallel here that we're starting to step on? And that's why I'm covering it so much. I got a lot of health stuff I'm going to cover today. But I got very disturbed when I read this last night, how the U.S. has now said it's going to impose sanctions on anyone that essentially is involved now with the International Criminal Court and questioning or investigating Israel. Why is everybody so upset or concerned about them investigating Israel? If Israel has done nothing wrong, there is no genocide, there is no massive Holocaust of Christians and Palestinian people there, why is it that big of a deal? Come on in, do an investigation, make sure you show the world that we've had no wrongdoing. No, they can't do that. They're way past that.
It says the more people understand that there's a mass campaign to propagate smears and to stamp out any criticism of Zionism or criticism of U.S. support for Israel, the less effective those smears will be. So what it's saying is because they're doing this and doing this and doing this and they won't stop, people are finally waking up to it. And they're saying, you know what, we don't believe this crap anymore.
No.
This is simply not true. But this girl, they actually had her. They actually doxed her. They actually sent her personal stuff out and had everybody call her boss and the school and put the whole doggone phone system into a gridlock.
That's what they're doing.
And they said, if you try to call and you can't get through, keep trying.
Well, what they've done is they've brainwashed. And I'll tell you this. I'm just going to be honest with you on this. This operation, the psychological operation that Mossad has done now through Israel in order to brainwash the American population could never have been done this effective without the evangelical church being
I saw that with that pastor complicit. Yesterday. Yeah, I saw it with that pastor yesterday. Can't do it.
The churches follow the pastors. The pastors are supposed to be the shepherds. And the congregation sits there and absorbs this absolute garbage every single day, every single Sunday. I told you guys I was at a church for years. Highly respected the church. My kids went there. I gave a lot of money to that church. And on July 4th, 2 years ago, they had a massive July 4th just show. And it was fantastic at the beginning. They had American flags everywhere. They had this whole event. They had this unbelievably awesome music. It was incredible. I'm vibing. Whole church is vibing. Everybody's amped up. You know, we're all stoked. It's like a concert, Christian concert for July 4th. How much better does it get? Christianity, Jesus Christ, and July 4th. It doesn't get much cooler than
that. We just needed some apple pie and a Chevrolet.
I'm saying, pull a Chevy truck and some apple pie, and it would have been like done. And we're all
and have a baseball game out of it.
Yeah.
Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet. Make sure they're beef hot dogs.
Yeah, organic apples.
Well,
I mean, we're vibing. Whole church is, you feel the energy. I mean, it's in the air. Pastor gets up there within 5 minutes. Nothing in the United States would have occurred if we hadn't supported Israel. The United States owes all of its dedication to Israel. The only reason we're going to continue to be prosperous is because of Israel. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, after 10 minutes, I got up and left. Never went back in that sanctuary ever again that day or to this day, 2 years now. And I go out there, and there's literally two combat veterans I know that I very well knew, and they're standing out in the hallway already. And they're looking at me, and they said, "What the hell is this about?" So then I said, "I don't know. I wish I could answer you." I said, he's like, "I served like four tours over in the Middle East." He goes, "I know what Israel does. I know what Mossad does. Why in the world are they getting anything credited to the United States?" And I said, "I don't know. I wish I could answer this question." Me personally talking to him. And more people walked out. More people walked out. And I thought to myself, the whole congregation should have walked out. But they're not.
Well, you got to remember, they've been brain and trained for 100 years. You know, I mean, the Lutheran Church doesn't believe all this nonsense, by the way.
The Jews that follow the Talmud hate Christ. Listen to the Joe Rogan podcast with the Ben Shapiro. Because we don't even believe he's a prophet. We believe he was a Jew that basically tried to lead a revolt against the Romans. He got killed for his troubles. He's in hell. We don't believe anything about him. He's not the deity. He's nothing. I'm like, whoa, this is our greatest ally. This is our greatest ally. Yeah.
And you know, the thing that grates me, it really does, is that I will look at this and then I realize there's a pro-Israeli blacklist. And it goes after private individuals who post solidarity with Palestine.
Yeah.
What bothers me about all of this stuff is the fact that we have to cover this.
I hate having to cover it.
I'd rather cover health news. And but the sad part about it is that I look at this and I see it, and I realize that they control, because Israel is the fiefdom of the Rothschild banking cartel. There's a book that you need to read by David Icke. Now, I don't agree with all this stuff because he's not a Christian, but I tell you what, he got some pretty good things on point. And I'm going to promote one of his books here for him. It's called basically The Trigger on 9/11. And it goes into detail on how Israel was directly involved in 9/11 and how Israel is directly involved with the banking cartels, the Rothschild banking cartels, and how they're controlling and running the world. You can read the book yourself. And I remember I had this friend of mine who was up in North Carolina, and she was always just pro-Israel. She's Jewish. And finally I told her she was a big fan of David Icke. And I said, why don't you do this? Do me a favor. Buy that book, or I can buy it for you and read it. And she did. And boy, was she mad at me for telling her about the book. It wasn't mad. She wasn't happy about the fact she had learned the truth about what was going on. She basically, here's a person who she trusted, David Icke, telling her that all the stuff that I had told her was real. And you think to yourself, why in the world can't people just wake up and look at the truth? Well, they don't want to look at the truth. The truth will set them free. And they've been lied to so much, and they've been brain and trained so much from the time they were little children. The same thing happened with pastors with COVID shots. They got in the pulpit, and they told their congregation to take the COVID shot, Austin.
Yep.
And so many of their people in the congregation now have had strokes or heart attacks or seizures, or their brains are changed, or their personalities are completely altered. But they got up on the pulpit and talked about this stuff.
They did. There, someone did it. And then this article, I'm glad you tied that in here, says religious freedom is a fundamental right, not a privilege to be granted or revoked by the government. It's a really good article. I want to let you guys read it. I'm going to post it on the website. And this guy goes into detail here, and he talks about how the ability to be able to have freedom of religion in the United States is paramount. It's the First Amendment. It's numero uno. It's ein. It's first. It says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Big part, big section of that. Or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of people to peacefully assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances. So my question is this. Why is it suddenly illegal or socially forbidden to discuss what's going on in Palestine and Gaza and Israel genocide? That's under the blanket of free speech, by the way, guys, if you haven't figured that one out. Now suddenly you can't say it, can't mention it, can't question it, can't rebuttal it, zero, cannot talk about it. Again, violation of the First Amendment. This one right here, too, we saw. In the pandemic times, you remember what happened? Churches told you not allowed to operate, not allowed to go congregate. Okay, so we're going to do outdoor services. People got ticketed for that. Now you have to do online services. Okay, well, we'll operate on that. The government came in multiple times and said, okay, well, you know, in times of crisis, there's the religious liberty, the law that interpreted by the courts, that essentially, you know, we can have restrictions on it. And the courts, their own rulings, it created a paradox. They recognize the Constitution's protection, yet carve out exceptions in a time of crisis. Is that always how it works in every major conflict in the entire world? Every time there's a major issue or catastrophe, the government comes in and says, well, this is an exception because it's a time of crisis. To the point now that they've used times of crisis as a very, very effective tool to control individuals and people's rights. It says constitutional rights are not suspended in emergencies. They're most essential during those times. The government's power is limited by the very document it claims to protect. By denying religious exemptions, the courts are not interpreting the law. They're violating it. The Constitution is explicit. No law shall prohibit the free exercise of religion. Any act by the government that forces a person to violate their faith that judges the authenticity of the belief is unconstitutional. And this is exactly what I tied into when they were trying to force everyone to get the COVID experimental injection. That's why I told everybody, I have a strongly held religious belief. Any company that was smart, that actually had their head screwed on tight, stepped away from that when I had people write that up. I have a strongly held religious belief against getting this injection. I told you, I had a buddy of mine, real good close buddy of mine, worked for Lockheed Martin. They start pulling that stunt on him. You have to get shot. He goes, no, I have a strongly held religious belief. They had a conference call with him. He goes, well, by the way, my attorney's going to be getting on this call. I have a strongly held religious belief against the shot. You know what? We're going to go ahead and give you the exemption. Don't worry about it. Have a nice day. Click done. That was it. They wanted no part of it. They didn't want some massive class action lawsuit that we've seen now ensue. And so this is the point. It reaches a time, as I've told you guys before. This is what I'm tying back into. At what point do you hold a conviction for your Christian beliefs? Against your beliefs against genocide, against your beliefs against human rights, you know, being violated, against your rights being violated with COVID vaccines. At what point do you draw that line and say, I'm not going to compromise my convictions on this? I don't care what people say. I don't care what people post. I don't care what people think. This is what I believe, and I stand strong on it. And I feel like that's one of the issues we've lost in this country, is too many people now are willing to compromise what they actually believe because of social reprisal. And that's exactly what Israel is betting on right now, through the Mossad operation through social media. That's my stance on it. That's my take on it.
Well, when you start to realize that so much of what we have is controlled through the international banking cartels and through cutouts and through people basically who have been put in positions of power and authority, Austin, and given huge corporations to run, who have huge basically foundations they set up that they never pay taxes on, and they are controlled through outside sources, you start to understand that the same people that run the central banks run the world.
Yep.
And it's the love of money is the root of all evil. And the same thing happened to Lucifer when he rebelled the first time against God in the pre-Adamic race that I cover in Angel Wars. And it's the same group that is being run through this organization now, these different people that serve him.
Yep.
But that's just that's just about as clear as I have to be. And that's why even Jesus called them out for being the children of the devil. The book of John. We've read it so many times, I'm not going to read it again today. But let's change topics.
This is what I do. I do want to cover this one. What are you getting into? I want to cover this with a silver squeeze.
Do it. I'll do that. I got another article here, too.
This is wild now. So last year, Samsung brought this patent for a battery together. You guys listen to me on this. This is wild. This is why you saw silver hit $71 an ounce last night. Gold's almost at $4,600 today. It's exploded. Of course, they had to short the heck out of it the best they could, and a lot of people, too. I think when they're seeing these numbers, a lot of them are dumping their paper holdings on it. They're not taking physical delivery. You can't even get much physical silver for less than $80 an ounce right now. I mean, unless you're buying some old bricks or something, as far as actually taking delivery today of silver, it's hard to find anything under $80 an ounce. Kilos are about $2,600 an ounce right now for a kilo block. I'll tie into that now. Solid state battery breakthrough. This is the solid state battery Samsung patent. They're building these little cars. You see right here in this photo. They're kind of like little four-door or four-seater, little small vehicles. But in the patent and the information that Samsung's now released this week, they have a 600-mile range and have a 9-minute charge, and the batteries last 20 years. They're not doing straight lithium-ion batteries anymore. They're doing a massive amount of silver added to the batteries.
Let me think about it. 20 years they last. They charge repeatedly, a 600-mile range.
9-minute charge.
9-minute charge.
That's the big one. Because one of the biggest issues that's plagued the EV market is if you don't have a hypercharger with Tesla, you got to sit there and wait for 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half.
Whoa. No. I have a friend of mine who plugged in here to the house, and we plugged in the
wall. Well, no, that's the wall out. Wall outlet's like a mile an hour.
No. It was, yeah. She had 3 days, she got like 70 hours, 72 miles.
Yeah.
It was ludicrous.
You have to drive to a Tesla hypercharging station to even get it done in like 30 minutes or an hour.
The amount of power those things pulls on real.
Yeah. And so they're useless. That's why they drop value. Nobody wants to sit a charging station every 200 miles for an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's why I had my friend come down that one time from Delaware in a Tesla. It took him like 38 hours to get down here. He got down here. He's like, I'm exhausted. I want sleep. Miserable. All I do is charging station, entire drive down here. This changes the game with it. Now, I'm not going to come out here and tell you I love EVs and go buy one. I'm not telling that at all. What I'm tying this is Samsung is saying that these small battery systems, these small battery packs that charge up super fast, and they discharge real slow, so you have this really long range. Well, in the patent, they're using a kilo of silver per battery. That's a kilo, a full kilo.
2.2 pounds.
That's current market price is $2,700 worth of silver. They're saying here that if Samsung actually goes into production with this and full production with it, they see even if just 20% of the vehicles were to start adopting Samsung solid-state batteries, the demand for silver would be between 16,000 to 20,000 metric tons a year just for this product with batteries. Now, again, this is all speculation. I never got this far. The going into that question is, there's only about 25,000 metric tons annually of silver that are produced. So clearly this battery can't be scaled to a large degree, so it would suck up almost the entire global supply of silver, which at that point, silver would be $1,000 plus an ounce. So, but even if a small amount of these battery systems start to be produced, and we have AI systems that are using mass amounts of silver in these systems, and the solar panels, and the phones, and everything, you're going to start seeing silver become much, much, much more valuable than it even currently is. And I'm not giving you speculatory prices. I'm not telling you what to do financially. But what I'm telling you is this. We had $71 an ounce today on silver.
I told everybody.
It's knocking on 100.
I told everybody years ago, I said gold was at 800 an ounce. And I said, this is a really good investment. I'm not giving you investment advice, but I really suggest that you get some gold. And I remember one of my friends came over the other day, and he invested, oh my gosh, he invested millions in it at 800 an ounce. And he told me the other day, he goes, you gave me the best advice financially I've ever had in my entire life, and it was free. You know, I had a guy named Jim Burke told me many years ago, you need to buy silver, you need to buy gold, because it's
silver was always the best.
It heads against inflation.
Yeah, it's silver for the longest time. I had so many people, when I was telling them, I was like, dude, it was like 12 bucks an ounce. I'm like, instead of going out to dinner this week, just buy an ounce of silver. And we were all doing that, buying an ounce a week. You know, just a little bit. You know, we didn't have much money back then, but 4 ounces, 5 ounces a month. What's 60 ounces a year? Also adds up. And everybody goes, well, it's not doing anything. I said, I don't know what it's going to do. I said, just hold it. Like, you're going to sell it? Am I going to sell it? Not any time being. I said, there's no reason to sell it. I said, because the demand is not going anywhere but up. And now you're watching it, and everything we talked about it for years now finally hit. And what it is the market, the actual physical market, is now starting to decouple from the paper market because of the real true demand in it, technology now with the batteries, with AI, with solar, all this stuff now. And
oh, by the way, just a lot of cars are using lithium-ion batteries now, including Ferrari.
Yeah.
They'll all be shifting over to silver, but there was a horrible crash this week.
Oh, man.
The Call of Duty's creator.
Co-creator, Call of Duty. Yeah. I saw the video. I have the video. I don't want to post it, though.
Vince Zampella. He died on Sunday while driving on the scenic road north of Los Angeles. He basically came out of a corner pretty hard.
He came out of a tunnel. He came out of a tunnel way too hot.
And he swerved, and he hit a doggone barrier. Blew up in flames. Both passengers were ejected, which means they weren't wearing their seatbelts.
They were wearing their seatbelts. They came out with the race seats.
Oh.
They were still in the seats in the video.
The seats came out of the car.
The seats came out of the car. It had such a bad wreck. They were in their bucket seats.
They
were
both ejected. Wow.
Yeah. I'm not going to show the video. A buddy sent it to mine. It was graphic. Very graphic.
My condolences to the family. Yes. But I'm going to say this, and I mean this is very sincerely. You know, I've driven some high-powered cars.
That was a 296. That car had 850 horsepower stock.
I've driven a 757 horsepower Callaway Corvette. And I'm telling you right now, and I drove a Viper with 600 horsepower without any traction or anything else on it. These cars will get away from you.
Fast.
I mean, in a millisecond, you'll lose traction and go sideways. And if you're going to drive a car like this, you better slow down. You better know the road.
Or go to a private track where you're wearing a seatbelt and wearing a helmet.
I'm looking at the car. I went into some gravel on the side of the road. And that's the one thing I learned on a motorcycle is if you're going to...
It was one of those mountain roads.
I'm not suggesting this, okay? I'm just telling you I've done it. But I did it two ways once. I did it twice. I always... If I was going to take my bike and I was going to run it on a back road on curves, I ran the road first.
Prep run. Yep.
Because you got to check for gravel.
Yep.
Because when you get gravel, it's like ball bearings under the tire. You don't get about that much of the tire touching the ground.
Especially on a sport bike.
On a sport bike. And, you know, and so I didn't do it. I refused to run because I had a bike come out several times. Yeah. It only has to happen to me a couple of times because so I was realizing that not a lot of traction on those bikes.
And asphalt and skin doesn't hold.
I still got scars.
So do I.
So I still got scars. And what's crazy about it is I remember years later, I had bought a BMW.
Yeah,
it was a 1600 GTL. It was a touring bike, but man, it handled great. 10-second quarter mile bike. It was a nice bike. And I remember I was out riding with some friends of mine, including a pastor, and he was being Guntsville. I mean, it was extremely wild. And we had not been on this road. We did a prep run, and he's got a gold wing, and I'll give him credit. He could run that gold wing, and he was cutting into the corners with it. And he beat me. I guess that was the goal. And I told him, I said, I won't run a run like that without running it first to see what's on the road. Oh, you're being silly, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? A couple years later, he ran a run like that, hit gravel, hit the concrete, concussion, hospital. Yeah, got rid of the bike. Be careful with these Ferraris. Be careful with the Corvettes. Be careful with anything if you drive a high-performance car. A couple years ago, we had a guy who was basically running a Lamborghini on a back road here by one of the local colleges, and he let his girlfriend drive it.
And Murcielago.
And what did she hit? What was she, 180, 190 miles an hour?
Yeah, she came around one of the corners about 180 from the police report on it. That's why the cops are out there. And what they were doing is they were doing runs back on this road. So there's a GTR coming on one side. It's four lane with the divided median, grass median. And she came around the corner about 170, 180 in that car. And you don't realize in those cars, when you start reaching that speed, you can only defy physics so far.
So you get tunnel vision real bad.
You don't realize, unless you're a pro driver on a prep track, you don't understand. And most of the time, people aren't advanced enough to be on these cars driving this fast. And she came around the corner, and the corner's a high bank. It's not a low bank. So when you come over it, it's high side, and she just picked up and hit the median, launched with the median. And the craziest part about it was the timing was so specific. It was right when the GTR was on a run back, and they literally had a full head-on collision. Everybody died.
But then the GTR was going the opposite direction.
Opposite direction.
She jumped the median.
Jumped the median.
And I think four people died.
This is why I constantly tell everybody there's so many places now in Florida and across the country that are putting tracks together. They're putting private
tracks
together.
Stay on the track.
Per the track. And that's why, you know, we talked about Ford. The old, what was it? It was the C6, C7, Z06, C6, Z06. C6, mm-hmm. The one with 505 horsepower.
Oh, that's a
big
nice
block. Most of the time, man, 500-600 horsepower on those cars.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. I mean, this new ZR1, don't get me wrong. I've ridden in one. I haven't driven one. 1,000 horsepower. Pretty cool car. But, man, that's a lot of power for the street.
Well, the biggest problem that you run into is that you're not used to driving at that speed. I remember a couple of years ago, I was on the Autobahn, and it was over in Germany, and we were at 170 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I was driving. I mean, the fastest I've ever been on the Autobahn was 199. I was driving, and that's miles per hour, not kilometers per hour. And the crazy part about it is when I came out of the throttle at 170, you know, the speed changed, and I came into traffic, and I had to slow that thing down. I had no idea how long it would take to slow down.
Even with big old brakes on it.
And I'm like, and I didn't lock up the brakes, but, I mean, it took a second to get that car slowed down at 170 miles an hour because, like you said, it's the laws of physics. You can only push the laws of physics so far until you have a massive, massive problem as far as, you know, collisions or whatever. It just doesn't work like that. So you got to be really, really, really careful when you're driving high-performance automobiles at high rates of speed or cornering them, not to lose them. He hit some gravel, lost a car, hit a barrier.
And that's one of the problems. And here, I won't show the rest of the video. And just so you guys can see the beginning phase of it. I'm not going to show you the whole thing on it, the aftermath. So basically, he comes out of this tunnel, and he loses it in the tunnel. You can hear him lose traction. It's a real wide open tunnel. And there we go. Whoops. Where's that? And the issue is, you see the barrier? He hits the barrier right in the spot where it sticks out right here. So he didn't hit the barrier sideways and skin it. He hit the barrier where it stepped out.
Head on.
And he looked like he was probably doing 120 right there. And
it happens that fast.
They both came out of this car.
Seats ejected. Came out.
That's a bad design flaw, Ferrari, by the way. That 296 is not a carbon fiber monocockpit. It's like aluminum shell.
Okay, let me explain to you what that means. Carbon fiber is lighter than aluminum, stronger than steel. I have a friend of mine that I know who was in a Lamborghini. I forgot what was the name of the, what kind
he
of car.
He had an Aventador.
And that car basically had a left rear tire blowout at 215 miles an hour, 214 miles an hour. And it went through over 100 six-inch fence posts, slid for almost half a mile before it impacted trees and stopped. And that carbon fiber monocockpit was intact and saved everybody's life in the car. They walked away from the car. And for Ferrari to develop a car like this that's that fast with that much horsepower without using a carbon block, you know, monocoque.
Well,
you know,
the issue is Ferrari's gotten bad about it now because a lot of these companies are trying to keep costs down but increase horsepower. The ZR1's spooky to me because it's the same way. It's the same frame component setup as a regular C8. They just strengthened it some. So you're taking a car that really is supposed to have 500-600 horsepower and you're pumping 1,000 horsepower out of the wheels on it. And when they test for DOT testing, remember, they don't test these cars to wreck at 150, 200 miles an hour like Lamborghini does. They test them to meet DOT requirements like 60 and 70 mile an hour accidents. So you start taking these cars at those levels of speeds, they do not hold up. So again,
unless it's a Lamborghini.
Yeah, be careful to hold up. If you're going to ride with somebody, make sure you know how to drive. Make sure you know where you're going. Ask questions first if you got a car.
Whenever I'm driving a high-speed car, I will never allow somebody to drive it with me in it if I don't know them. Because it's too dangerous. Oh, by the way, box office crisis is worse than it looks. Prior to the release of Avatar, Fire and Ash, which I would never go see, total woke garbage. In the week before Christmas 2025, it was another disappointing year at the box office. The crazy part about it is the box office was at almost at $16 billion about 20 years ago, and it dropped all the way down to about $1 billion during COVID, and it's only up now to about $7 billion now, and it's in a big, huge slump still.
Well, the only movie that's out right now is David. I took the kids to see it the other day. Saw most of it. Kids watched it. I stepped out and saw another movie that came in. It wasn't very good. Went back to David. It's done by Angel Studios. It's like Pixar-level quality animation. It's really good. It's taken me years to build this film. And it was David, Story of David. Good film as far as from a Christian standpoint. The kids loved it. That's the only thing I recommend out in the theaters right now, and I will recommend that film.
Well, I haven't seen a good movie in almost a year. I remember I was going to go to see Superman last year or whenever it came out, and it was $35 for two tickets.
That last Superman was a bunch of woke stuff, wasn't it?
No, it was, and I told the person I was with, I said, I'm not paying this for this. I said, the movie's got horrible ratings. $35 for two tickets.
I'm the same way you are. I'm going to vote with my dollars. I tell everybody. I do the same stuff I tell you. If I don't like a movie or I don't like what's in it, I'm not going to pay to see it.
I've gotten up before and got
money back.
First 20 or 30 minutes, you can go and get a refund.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you that too. They'll give you your money back. I've done that multiple times, especially if the language gets really bad. I can't deal with all that.
Or they put a bunch of perverted stuff in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Or they go real gay. Here's a health article here now.
Oh, I was watching that movie the other day.
Which one?
That one with the king. He was it was a guy who plays on Star Trek. It was like the Rogue King or whatever. It picked up after the Braveheart.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it was a Netflix thing.
Oh, if it's got the end on it, if somebody sends you everything in Netflix.
No, they got these two macho dudes in there, and one of them kisses the other one. In the middle of the movie, I said, this is...
Well, that's why I canceled Netflix.
They can't do
every single film that Netflix produces has to have a whole bunch of faggotry in it now, and I don't know why. And most of it, the problem that I found when I had it last year, it's all irrelevant to the storyline. They have to inject it right in the middle of scenes. It makes no sense at all. If you want to go make a gay movie, your freedom of expression. Don't care. Go make as gay a movie as you want. I don't have to see it. But when you take these movies and they have this whole giant plot they're putting out there, and they got a pretty cool storyline too, and they got a bunch of special effects. And like right in the middle of it, the dude's like, "Bro, I love you. Let's make out." What? What gayness was that needed in there? And it's not. It's Netflix. It doesn't do that. Change of gears. Beta blockers. Millions of Americans are on this drug, and they don't need it. New research questions the routine prescription of beta blockers for heart patients and high blood pressure, but prescribing habits are very slow to change. They're saying the evidence of effects is shifting now. For people with weak hearts, beta blockers could still be life-saving in some cases. For others, the benefits aren't clear. Recent trials are showing almost no advantage for even heart attack survivors with normal heart function. One large case study shows possible harm in women whose hearts are pumping normally, but they put them on beta blockers. Meanwhile, the practice of prescribing them for anxiety and performance anxiety is growing now, despite serious side effects. The question isn't whether beta blockers work, but it's for when and for whom. And it says by blocking adrenaline, they slow the heart rate and reduce its oxygen demand. And essentially, they're good for individuals, they're saying here, that are having serious issues with like ventricular tachycardia, and heart abnormalities.
But why is that happening? Nobody's addressing why.
That's exactly what I was going to get into. Why are we seeing that increase so fast? Why are we seeing so many issues with myocarditis? Why are we starting to see so many cardiac problems even in young children? Why are we seeing the doctors having prescribed beta blockers to adults in their 20s because they're having rapid heart rate on a regular basis and they're overall healthy? What happened 5 years ago? Something happened. You know, it was, what was it? It was the, an RNA gene therapy shot that was developed by DARPA, the Developmental Research Project of the Pentagon, that they decided they were going to send a vaccine, alleged vaccine is what they called it, on the United States and the rest of the world like an atomic bomb to experiment on them and see what RNA gene therapy did. And you, lo and behold, cardiac problems were the number one issues of this shot. And now beta blockers are at an all-time high.
Plus, don't forget the magnesium deficiencies.
That's been going on. That's why the I think that's probably one of the reasons why the magnesium brain food. Because, you know, you said it helps with brain fog, right? Right, but you're super healthy.
I am.
You take a lot of supplements.
I do.
You're super active.
I am.
If it stops brain fog for you, what do you think it does for other people that aren't that healthy and are deficient?
Like a miracle.
Yeah. That's why I'm getting so many emails on. That's why I'm getting customers that are going, dude, I got family members that are not even old. They're young. They're having issues with dementia already.
Well, I told you, I had a friend of mine took it the other day, had real bad allergies. We ate certain types of foods. Nothing.
Yeah.
And gone.
One of the biggest things.
300 biochemical reactions in the body with magnesium.
Migraines. Dexter's girlfriend's had massive migraines. Put her on two scoops of this a day. Migraines are gone. Gone. Now, I'm not making any claims. It's just what he told me personally, what she told me the other day when I saw her.
No, but migraines are almost always a caffeine issue. Almost always. No, but yeah. not 100%
of the time. And magnesium deficiency and dehydration, too. Yeah, that's a big one. You got to make sure you drink enough water.
But the magnesium, it relaxes stuff. And you need a lot more of that than you do calcium. Don't let them lie to you. Oh, By the way, they're having weather warfare out there in Seattle, man, out in Washington State.
Yeah, I saw that. I've been watching some of it out there.
But this is all
massive flooding again.
Well, yesterday I talked to Ken, my buddy out there who moved to Montana.
Montana, yep. Okay?
And he told me that over there in Libby, Montana, they're underwater. I mean, the whole town's underwater.
Libby?
Libby's underwater. Those rivers all rose up, and they basically they're underwater.
Libby, where we went and walked all those big river beans?
Asbestos Superfund cleanup site. Yeah.
Beautiful area, though.
No, it's gorgeous. It was all underwater. Flooded, whole thing.
That's high up there, too.
Yep. But he said they had wind the other day. It came across his area, blew his shed down, did a whole bunch of stuff. 100-mile-an-hour winds. They did the highest wind recorded out there in Montana was 144 miles an hour. He says like hurricanes.
What? That's a hurricane. It's snowing too?
I wasn't snowing with all that, but he said the storms were unbelievable. He said there's flooding everywhere out there in Montana and in Libby and in Washington. And so we had one of our listeners called yesterday and asked us to speak. Please address this. This is geoengineering at its finest. This is what they do. They can cause a river of water to come into the atmosphere. And here in Florida, we're in a drought. Big time drought right now. I mean, the yard dead, which is good. I don't have to mow it. The weeds won, by the way.
Dude, you're not kidding, bro. I miss Libby. I love being up in Libby. This shit is heavy rain. Libby, Montana. Flooding. Mm-hmm. Flooding.
Yeah.
Look at the bridges.
Oh, yeah. Well, many of the bridges are washed out.
My goodness.
Remember, that river runs right close to Libby.
We stayed up there for a while.
Hmm? We stayed with some Amish folks.
Yeah.
We parked in an RV in their parking lot for weeks. Yep.
That's not. It's
atmospheric river flooding slams. This is all geoengineering. If they want to make it rain out here, they're not going to make it rain here. You only have so much water to deal with.
Well, isn't it ironic? We had zero. This is like the first time in Florida history, I think, we had zero hurricanes.
Close to us. Yeah, I mean,
nothing.
Jamaica got tattooed, but they want to turn it into a smart island.
Yeah, I cover the whole story on that. They already had signed on to an entire smart city program a year or two ago.
Well, you know, Dane Winnington lives in the area out there.
In Jamaica?
No, up in Montana. Northwest, yeah. And he lives on Mount Shasta out there in California. And they're probably just giving him a hello because he's been after.
He's been very vocal.
He went on Tucker Carlson and talked about it.
You know, he's got a big platform with geoengineering.
He's been on our show many times.
That's wild. Another article here. Presbyopia is a common vision condition in people over 40, and it's getting worse. And I had a customer, this is where I'm covering this. I had a customer that started around the eyesight that really cleared this up. It says presbyopia is often mistaken for farsightedness, but the two are not the same. It's often an age-related loss of lens flexibility rather than a structural refractive error. While it cannot be permanently cured, symptoms can be massively managed. And it goes, this is what happens in the body, in a normal eye, how it functions. Aging and oxidative damage is the big one. Oxidative stress. This is why the eyesight's got specific nutrients in it that massively reduce the oxidative stress in the body and essentially reduces the amount of issues and making the lens hard and inflexible. And this goes into here, and you can look, blurred close-up vision, eye strain, worsening in dim light, headaches that may occur after reading or doing close-up tasks such as knitting. And the risk factors can cause basically getting older. Lifestyle factors can say cigarette smoking. That's nicotine, vasoconstrictant, also oxidative stress. Talked about that before. Certain medications, also long-term exposure to UV radiation. That's why I like wearing sunglasses when I'm out in the sun a lot. It's trying to squint. So my eyes are already sensitive. They've always been sensitive since I was a kid down here in Florida. We got like really bright, really big sun down here. So again, make sure you're doing what you can to maintain your vision. Also, too, when it comes to basically the blue lights on the screens, try to put blue light blockers if you can on your screens or your platforms you have, and also try to limit screen time or reduce it where you take a step off of it. I mean, I know we got screens everywhere now. It's 2025. You can't help it. It's what we do. It's just how it is. But the eyesight formula, I get a lot of positive feedback on that formula with really helping out with eye fatigue and symptoms and visions and all those different issues that are getting strongly associated now with this.
Well, I know that before I started taking that product, I had a hard time going to a restaurant and you're reading a menu. And as long as I've got
you don't use a flashlight anymore.
Not as much as I used to.
No.
If it's real dark, I might a little bit.
He used to do this all the time. He used to embarrass all of us when we used to go, like even just a couple of years ago. And he haven't done
love
it.
Love embarrassing them.
He does. He enjoys it too much. So he'd go in. We'd be in a restaurant. I'd be like, God damn, I'm going to take you to this restaurant. It's like 5, 6 years ago. Nice restaurant. He goes, oh, I can't see the menu. He pulls out this mag light, this like 2-foot long mag light.
I do not. I pulled out my iPhone.
But no, he pulls out an iPhone and he goes, oh, I got to read the menu. And then I'm asking the question, right? He's looking at the menu. He goes, what'd you say? I'm like, my eyes. Can't see.
That did happen.
No, it was funny though. But he doesn't do that anymore. Actually, he doesn't do it anymore. Surprisingly.
So no, it has actually worked.
I didn't think about that, but no, I haven't seen it in a long time.
It's worked great. It's actually worked great.
Went to a restaurant yesterday. Had some really good.
Oh, this is a funny story.
Really good food. I mean, this place, Lavender Lace. It's more for like women. Yeah. Kind of older.
Oh, here we go. This is a funny story.
I was like, where are we going? He's like, we're going to Lavender Lace. I'm like,
well, no, I've taken, I used to go there with Sharon all the time. I've taken some dates over there in the last, you know, 4 years.
They got really good food.
Really clean. And I know the owners. They're really nice. In fact, when Austin had his wedding reception, we had it there.
Yeah. I haven't been there since then, by the way. That tells you how often I go to this place.
Well, no, I would take your mom there.
I've taken
several dates over there. And so I just love the food. The food is really, really good. But it's like a woman's place, and the only time you ever see guys there is when they're queer, if they're by themselves.
And they're usually very queer, from what I was told yesterday.
No, this is funny. So I told them, I said, let's go to Lavender Lace. And I said, we'll be all right. We're pretty macho. They'll know we're not gay.
I was like, I'm hungry. Feed me.
So we went in there. So the owner's daughter was there. She's real nice. And she started joking with us and put us in the room. Of course, there's a table right across from us. There's about 6 gay guys with about 3 girls. And I thought, this is great. And I've seen transgenders there. I've seen all kinds of. And what I said to her, how many times have you actually had 2 alpha males come in here, you know, that aren't gay? And she goes, you two are the first.
This is an anomaly.
She says, this is unprecedented.
Unprecedented, as you said.
I started laughing. And I said, well, that's great. And then we started joking with her. She said, well, she goes, my dad, he can't stand any of this stuff, and I don't want to be canceled.
That's what she said.
Yes. She was funny.
I laughed.
And so we don't say anything, but she said a lot. And then she said something. She says, a lot of times alpha males will come in only to meet their gay boyfriends.
She said that. She actually said that. She said closeted. They come in and they're closeted, and then suddenly they go down, they sit down with all their other guys. And they're obviously all very gay. I just laughed because it was funny. They had a chicken sandwich, chicken croissant that was amazing. Then I got that sandwich, and I got ground beef with potatoes on it.
It was chicken, it was potatoes.
What was it called?
It's not a chicken pot pie, not a beef pot pie. You can tell we're both food connoisseurs.
Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie, that's right.
Real good shepherd's pie, and then a big chicken sandwich. They were both really good.
But it was so funny, and we were joking around.
Had a good workout afterwards.
Yeah, but the funny part about it is it's a sign of the times, isn't it?
Yeah.
How weird people have gotten now. You know, it was so strange because we were like two ducks out of water walking around in there like, what are these guys doing in here?
You'll like this story.
This is aviation story. I've seen this before. I've had this happen to me before.
Doggone fighter jet, F-15 had to basically headbutt a little plane over Mar-a-Lago airspace. FAA's administration placed temporary flight restrictions over the presidential residence till January 4th while he is there for the Christmas. Fighters intercepted civilian aircraft that violated the airspace. The aircraft entered restricted airspace at 9:20 a.m., prompting F-16 to scramble immediately and do a head-butt maneuver, which when the jet flies directly in front of the civilian plane, put him in a jet wall.
I bet he got his attention.
Woo! Golly. He flies straight over and basically kicks the brakes right in front of you. Midair.
Did it make him land?
I don't know. They went into here. See if they did it or not. I don't know if they pushed him down or they pushed him out.
If I tell you what, though, because that's a big time. You can lose your suspension, revocation, or pilot certificates, as they said.
Yeah, the aircraft controllers try to contact the pilot, instruct him to exit the air. If the pilot does not respond, they dispatch fighter jets to intercept. Intercepting pilots may fly alongside the plane, tip their wings, pop flares, or perform a headbutt maneuver, or shoot you down without any other response. So if you keep screwing off and you keep doing circles over Mar-a-Lago, you're getting in a dogfight that you're not going to win.
It's going to be a very quick dogfight.
Yeah. That's funny. That's wild. That's funny over here. Anyways, I thought that would be an interesting story, some comedic humor there.
Right,
also, too, in other stories, it says the mystery of intuition, when the gut feeling comes from, and it starts talking about the gut-brain connection as well now. And it goes into more studies are finding how essentially the position you start feeling, your gut instinct, and how you start feeling in certain situations, sometimes the fast instinctive form of intelligence operates separately from our conscious thoughts. And this is why it's so important, says the biology of gut feelings and the gut-brain axis influencing mood and behavior. It talks about the nerve complex with the brain and the gut microbe. This is part of the one to get it to. It says the healthier the gut microbe is, the better effects a feeling of urgency, emotion, or even memory can have as far as with the brain. So basically what it's saying is the better your gut functions, the better microbe you have, the better bacteria you have in your gut, you can actually have better overall functioning, better intuition, better emotions, better regulation, and better involvement in some certain types of decision making. Slow it down, that purple stick kicked in. And so this is one of the reasons why, this is my personal opinion, and I'll ask Dad's opinion on this here in a second here. In my opinion, this could be one of the reasons why Big Pharma and Big Agra is so obsessed with messing up your gut with sucralose, with high fructose corn syrup, with glyphosate. If the gut-brain axis is this effective and the gut microbe actually works directly with the brain and you have better emergency, emotions, and even memory, wouldn't it make sense? Do you want to make the population sick, dumb, and stupid? Mess up their gut? Prevent them from having a good gut-brain axis?
Well, it's more than this, though. The gut microbes, they don't have a direct nervous connection into what happens is with the scalar energy field.
Yeah.
In other words, you don't have, you know, you're not hardwired to your gut microbes. They're loose inside your gut, but they have an energy field around them that connects to your brain through a scalar energy field.
It's the system here. So it says the gut microbes are floating around. Mm-hmm. As they go up or down, you lose a bunch of them with antibiotics. Mm-hmm.
And we're a lot more complicated. I did a whole show a few weeks ago. We played it at the tape. It was called the Geospace Fence, and I talked in depth about how the gut and the brain are directly connected via scalar energy fields. And that's the same thing. Your body puts out a 15-foot field around it from your heart that when you step into someone's field, you can feel it. And so that's all connected via scalar energy field.
And that's why, too, you'll know, especially if you've got really close friends or good people you've known a long time, something will happen. And you go, man, I got to call them up. They keep popping up in my head. And you call them up, and they go, man, I've been needing to call you. I was just thinking about you. That's how that connection works as far as
we're again, it's not hardwired.
They can be in another state.
See, scalar energy field, if you transmit data via scalar energy field, it transmits data instantaneously across time space.
Yeah.
In other words, if you want to send
There's no delay. If
you want to send a message 100 million light years away, if you believe all that, you do it through a scalar energy field, it's there instantaneously.
Yeah.
There's no barrier in time space. And so that's how we're wired to God. That's how we're connecting to God. Oh, by the way, the bankers always know first. J.P. Morgan is moving his precious metals trading desk to Singapore.
That's odd.
Last Thursday, J.P. Morgan, the biggest gold desk on the planet, abruptly moved their entire trading desk to Singapore, revealing a leak through an internal memo. They told 50 employees to pack their families, belongings, etc., and head overseas by the end of the week. This thing doesn't happen every day. Is this an alarm bell? The internal email that's been leaked says that ultra-high net worth individuals who are part of this team are moving money out of the United States en masse. This is highly unusual and clearly something big is happening. The smart money knows something the public has not been yet told. The same thing happened to us in the stock market in 1929. The big money, the really big money, was told in advance to pull all their money out of the market.
Well, that's what pulled it down, too.
Mm-hmm. But what happened is they got their money out first. And so they were able to hold on to their net worth and to their value and go to cash. We don't know what's going on right now, especially with the gold and silver markets going up like they are, but the dollar's losing its value very, very quickly.
Very quickly. That's the reason why also, too, silver and gold are finally catching up. Silver and gold already should have been massively elevated like this after COVID. Mm-hmm. With a $7 trillion price injection in the market, cash injection, the cost of houses, the cost of cars, everything, gold and silver should have gotten with it. The difference was they were shorting the market because everything was on paper because there was no demand for massive had precious metals back then. Well, now what's happened is the actual physical market has taken over the paper market. And everybody, even individuals I know now that have been wanting to buy metals and they've been buying them, nobody's letting any holdings hold them anymore now. Everybody's going, no, you mail me my stuff. I'm putting it in a safety deposit box. I'm putting it someplace safe. I want it in my hand. I don't want it sitting at some bank somewhere. Oh, by the way, we were keeping your kilos of silver safe for you. Are you? Really? Because quite frankly, I don't trust anything they're doing right now.
Well, most banks are non-trustworthy anyhow. By the way, 60 Minutes pulled a segment. Correspondents calling it political. Sharon Alfonsi, a 60 Minute correspondent, criticized Network's decision report, removed her reporting from Sunday's edition of the show, talking about El Salvador prisons and the 2 months that a man spent in El Salvador who should not have been in El Salvador under the Trump administration, under ICE. And she said on the statement late Sunday, my job is to make sure that all stories we publish are the best they can be. This is Weiss who pulled it. Holding stories aren't really for any reason. They're saying this is a political move by them trying to support Donald Trump because he don't want him to sanction them or sue them. I find it interesting because I saw that happen with an article one time right here on Fox News in Orlando, in Tampa, on a show they had done on bovine growth hormone, Austin. And they pulled it. They wouldn't play it for fear of reprisal from the manufacturer of the bovine growth hormone. And they were going directly against Monsanto, and they didn't want to do it. So this happens. This kind of stuff does happen.
I need a favor.
Sure.
I need a favor from y'all. I did barely ask you for favors on here. CoQ10, I run this product every day. I get a ton of people that love this product every day. This is the only product you guys have not put a review on before. I have zero reviews on this product. Yet I know you guys are buying it because I got to order more of it. I take a ton of it. Really, really good for the heart. Really good for the energy. So when you get a chance, if you like this product, if you take this product, please give me a review on it. Let me know what you think. Let me know how it works. Let me know the benefits you're getting from it or anything you don't like about it. Don't really care. Give me a full spectrum. I like getting your open feedback. I know how effective it is for me. I know how everybody I know that runs it that helps out with blood pressure, with energy, for antioxidant stress, for circulation. It's a huge one. And for cardiac repair after heart issues. Incredibly good for all these different things, including antioxidant protection. So leave me a review, guys. I appreciate it on that. You've done great with the other ones. This allows immediate feedback from you guys, and it allows other customers to get feedback from you. And so the Health Masters family, which is what we are now, we're all in this together.
Whether we want to be or not, we're
whether
family.
Whether we want to be
now.
Or not.
Merry Christmas and holidays and everything else to you guys, too.
Merry Christmas and holidays.
Yeah. I'm trying to cover everything. New Year's, everything at once.
I appreciate you guys so much. We'll have another Christmas Eve show for you guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll be live. Stay tuned. We got a lot of stuff we're going to cover, a lot of positive stuff we're going to cover. Really encourage everybody with a lot of good information. So give me a response on that CoQ10. Give me a review. Be sure to check out the Purple Sticks if you want a 10% off. 12 days of Christmas, last day on here, final day. And also, the mushrooms are on for the last day. You guys have been buying up some of those Super Mushroom Complex. Last day on sale for 30% off product.
I've been sleeping great on that stuff.
Right. Keep your immune system strong, too. Have a great evening, my friends. We'll talk to you on tomorrow's show, as always.
Hey, Jesus is the reason for this season. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Remember, we can do all things through Jesus, all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That's it.